Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. I feel very needy before the Lord tonight. And if the Lord don't help us, you all will probably be walking around here in about an hour wondering, what was that? But if the Lord helps us, I feel like that He's got something for us. So I desire your prayers. I'd like to start in the second chapter of Ecclesiastes. First verse, he says, I said in my heart, go to now, and will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens, orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water, to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. And got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the particular treasure of kings and the province. I gat me men singers and women singers, and delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them, and withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. I think about this, man that no doubt was looking for something. Somebody that looked and said, I want to know what it all means. To explore. Had the mindset is I'll never know what it tastes like till I eat it. I want to experience it that I might know it fully. But what was he really looking for, you suppose? I think that he was really looking for what every man looks for. I think he was looking for what really was meaningful of life. I want to be happy. It doesn't matter about anything else. Everything else is only to make me that way. I want to be fulfilled in some way. That we're all wanting something like that. That's why we're seeking things in life. Now the world seeks things, but it just doesn't work. But what did Solomon really have in mind? If I can possibly this mindset, if I can get enough that I will never worry again, is it possible? Is it possible to get so much that I won't have to contend with the things that I worry about? I've had the privilege of being able to pay all my bills and still have a fistful of money. But it didn't keep me from worrying. If I could get enough, would I stop this worrying? No. It didn't work. Even of laughter. You know, some of my wife and I's fondest memories, if you'd ask her, she'd tell you. Some of our fondest memories is laying down some nights and something said that's funny and another thing, and we start laughing. and we laugh together, and we laugh, and something else is funny, and we laugh, and it feels so good. And we both are just on cloud nine, and it feels good, and it's some of our best memories that we laugh together. If I can find enough funny things, and if I can laugh long enough, and if I can laugh hard enough, I can laugh myself into a perpetual state of joy. So bring me the funny things. I want a funny song. I want jokes. I want the funny people around me. And if I can laugh long enough, I can rid myself of the sorrow and worry that comes in life. I'm going to get everything funny and see if it works. I think Solomon had that in mind as he was wondering. Surely he was pursuing those kind of things to find out if he could do it in life, if he could be in a state of euphoria, if he could live in that kind of way by getting the things and using the things that was around him, would it bring it to him? If he could accomplish with his hands these kind of things, would that do it? If he had the treasures of kings, would he be able to set and have that feeling that we all want and that knowledge that we're all's well with us? Do you know that the rich, this guy, the preacher here, he does all of it. Way beyond what we'll ever be able to do. And when he got to the end of it and he weighed it all out, he said, laughter's mad. Yeah, we laugh and feel it for a while, but it don't last. And I say of wine, if I can drink it and get in that state of people that drink wine, the alcoholic kind, if I can get into that state, that numb state, or that state that it makes me foolish and makes me feel good, and to do that, if I'll drink that and say that would be the way to live. But he done it, and he got on that high, and he found out that when he wakes up, he's got to deal with the same thing and worse. And it didn't help him. It didn't do it. It didn't accomplish it. He said of all these things that he was able to do, he was able to manipulate other people. If I could be a person that could make other people do what I wanted them to do, I could be a happy person then. They could just wait on me and I could kick back. But Solomon said, I looked at it all. And what state I wanted to get into, it didn't do it. And I look and say, what hopelessness, right? What hopelessness for peace. We all want peace, but where do we find it at? We still squabble with one another. We still fight with one another. I fight with myself. I don't find the peace. None of this stuff was ever able to do it. And I think of the world around us that's running headlong to find something. Folks, I want you, when you think bad of the world, I want you to think of something. They're only pursuing what we're pursuing. They're just coming up short of getting anything. They're trying to do the same thing and get into the same state that we get into. They're just trying to use something that will never get them there. That's what they really want. Do you really think that a young man meets a young girl and they fall in love and they really intend to get into a fight and one kill the other? Or do you think that they really intend to fight the rest of their time together and get a divorce and be bitter at one another for the rest of their lives? No, of course they don't. They're only in a pursuit of the same things we are. It's just that it doesn't work. A very well-known atheist recently said that we don't need a God anymore, because science is providing for us what religion used to. We are understanding more. We're knowing more how to do things. You don't need a God to heal you now. Medical science can do it. You don't need the weather because science knows how. We don't need God to bless our crops because science knows how to do agriculture now. We don't need it. We can manipulate grain. We can manipulate food. We can modify this. We can do that. We can do science. We don't need God anymore. What do you think of that? I need God more now than I ever have. We need God
more than ever had. And when Solomon looked at, I think if Solomon was here, and he would have looked at that statement and said of all that he knew and understood, he would have said, and that too is vanity. That's vanity. Because no matter how much we can modify crops or how much we can take one part out of one person and put it into another, no matter what we can do with that, you can't bring what we really need. You can't wipe away my guilty conscience. You can't help me be happy when sorrow floods me. You can't give me a reason for living when all hope's gone from me. You can't change those things by a scientific method. We need God. But I find in God there's something that's amazing. Because in God, circumstances don't matter. I've been amazed to learn this. I always think, in Lord, would you please change my circumstance so I can be happy? You ever say, if only this would change, I'd sure be better, Lord. But you know, God's got a way of giving you something that'll leave you right where you are at. Yes. Yes. With joy in your soul. Amen. With peace. With satisfaction. With a sense all is well, even though the world's crumbling around you. It's still well with my soul. There's something that God can do that nothing else can do. And that is the answer to all the problems. As Solomon looks at it all, surely he wasn't trying to conclude at the end of all this that it's hopeless and we're all doomed. He was simply laying out the foundation that none of this earthly stuff is going to get us where we really want to go. It's vanity. It only lasts for a little while. The joy of it's gone in a moment. Your ball team may win tonight, but it'll lose one game. It'll end up losing. If that's what you put your hope and heart into and joy in, you'll be disappointed more than your joy. The heartaches of life are still there. But oh, if I can laugh long enough and hard enough and I can get a sense of funny around me, then I can be joyful through any kind of a thing. So Linda and I laugh. But you know, I can't help from thinking sometimes it comes into my mind. What if I lose her? Am I going to laugh myself through that? What if one of my children get down? Am I going to be able to laugh my way through that? And feel no sorrow or no... Of course not. It's vanity. Even that's vanity. It's been present. We've enjoyed it, but I realize what it is. It is a flare of a moment. It's nothing more. And it's gone. And now I've got to deal with something so much more. I appreciated the burden of the meeting before I got up. Brother Steve's exhortation and the sister's exhortation. Because of a world that thinks they don't need God, He's their answer. And we need to have, we need to be able to spread this news to the world. Because there's a lot of people out there that are trying all of these things, and it always comes up short. With that in mind, I'd like to look at the first chapter of John. The 44th verse of the first chapter. Now Philip was at Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Well, now, I think Nathanael had a right to be skeptical. I mean, there's a lot of people claimed a lot of things. There was people that claimed that they was the Messiah before Jesus ever come around. There was a lot of different claims about this and that and the other. And there's Nathanael, and along comes Philip. I don't know what kind of a deal there was there with that, but he says, basically, come and see the Messiah that Moses and the prophets wrote about. We found him. Here he is. And I think it was right of Nathaniel to be a little skeptical of a claim so high. I think he didn't fully, he was going to have more than just that statement. He was a little, is there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, so he said, well, Nathaniel, come and check it out for yourself. Come and see what you think about it. Come and look and test it. Taste it. See what it is. So Nathaniel does. He said unto him, or Jesus saw Nathaniel coming to him and said of him, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Now, I'm going to tell you, Scripture doesn't say a lot more about that. But there was something that Nathanael recognized immediately about that statement. That was a light shining into him. That was something that was absolutely a part of a personal experience. Nathanael was under that fig tree. What an experience. Jesus comes along and says, Nathanael knew there wasn't nobody else around. This was between him and God. And along comes Jesus and points it out to him that I know Nathanael, just like was written about me, I know everything you ever done. I know everything about your life. I saw you under the fig tree. I'm going to listen to Nathanael. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. That was his expression back. That was proof. That was proof enough for Nathanael right there. That he knew that. He was able to say that. You know, we still have to deal with him. That's the one we're dealing with. The one that sees us under the fig tree. But I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I ain't always been under a fig tree. But God still sees whatever I'm doing. If you're here tonight and it ain't your experience to say, I thank God there's one that sees everything I do. You might be here tonight and say, I wish he didn't see everything that I do. But he sees it all the same. And there's been times I haven't been under the fig tree. I've been in the bar patch somewhere. I've been under the crab apple tree somewhere. My thoughts wasn't in good intentions. God sees all that too. There's been times that it wasn't praising God and thanking the Lord, even in my salvation experience. There's been times that I've been down. There's been times that I've had these failures of myself. I don't like myself. I don't want to be this way. Maybe I'm the only one. But I'm going to tell the experience anyway to the glory of God. Because God sees that too. And he knows all about that too. He said of this man, he said, here comes one that's no guile. He knew him. Knew who he was. He knew about him. God knows about you tonight. God knows about this world tonight. He knows about everything that they do, everything that they need. He knows about it. Altogether knows about it. He knows more about you than you know about you. And I know he knows more about fixing you than you know about fixing you. And God knows how to get each and every one of us. He knows how to take us to heaven. He knows how to straighten up our lives. He knows how to take us that's lost our dignity. He knows how to take us that's lost the precious things. And he knows how to give them back. He knows how to do that. So Nathanael sees this and he says immediately, it's like this wonderful, wonderful, yes, thou art the Son of God. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Yeah, that was enough. Believe me, that was enough. Thou shalt see greater things than these. Wow, that was pretty good. But he says, you're going to see greater things than that. You know what I'm glad about the greater things? It isn't enough to know that I'm rotten. Just for me to admit I'm rotten is not enough. I go around all my life saying, okay, I'm rotten. I'm rotten. We're all rotten. You know, that's what the world religions do for a lot. Even Christian so-called religion go around saying it's a virtue for us all to say we're rotten. Mankind's rotten. We're all sinners. We're rotten. Sin all the time. Sin every day. We're all rotten. It's a good one. We're rotten. Lord knows we're rotten. He's revealed that we're rotten. That's a great thing. He reveals that we're rotten. He didn't stop with revealing that we were rotten. He didn't stop with just revealing that there. He did more than that. He done greater things. He said, Nathaniel, this, you saw this, you experienced this, but you're going to see greater things than this. And he said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open. I'm so thankful that heaven's open. I wish tonight that the Lord would give us all a vision of heaven being open. You're going to see heaven is open. Now there's a meaning in that. If heaven's open, it must have been closed. Was it? What was possibly he was talking about the age of men that longed to be better, that looked into being better, that wanted something more, that couldn't have it, that it wasn't available to him. But he said to Nathaniel, there's something greater. You're going to see heaven opened. Now it's just not enough to say, I'm rotten. But there's going to be a power and a grace that's going to come now that's going to deliver us from being rotten. There is an answer, folks. There is an answer in God. I know what it feels like to be discouraged, depressed, oppressed. I know what it feels like to be that. I never found anything in the world to solve that problem. And the burden tonight was those that are hurting, those that are out there, and those that commit suicide, awful thing, and like that, they need to know that heaven's open. Because science can't fix this. But God can fix this because He opened heaven. And when you think you're in the worst possible situation and you think nothing else can happen to you or can help you, I'm going to tell you there is something that is divine, supernatural. Science has no monitor for it. They can't detect it. They can't see it. They can flood our souls and make us happy, peaceful, and satisfied right in the middle of the severest trials we ever go through. And that's been proven over and over and over again. It isn't enough for me to say, I'm a bad husband, I'm a bad father, I hate myself because of it, when heaven's open. Because there's a power to change that. I don't have to be that way. Thank the Lord, heaven's been open. Nathaniel, you're a man that don't have no guile, you're in the favor of God, you've met the Son of God, I've proven who I am to you, but you haven't seen anything yet. You're going to see the devils cast out, you're going to see people that are hurting, you're going to see a grace fall on the human race that is going to change them, solve their problems. Heaven's open. You know, when the devil comes and discourages us, we ought to have a vision of heaven being open. And tell the devil, you are a liar. You'll never be able to go through this. If this happens and this happens, usually he's lying about what's happening. It doesn't matter what happens. Because there is a power that overshadows it all. And I've told this many times, but it's my experience and I like telling it. I come to a point one time, I was in probably one of the toughest battles of my life. And I looked at the future as best as my human mind could do and what was going to happen. And I couldn't see any way through it. And I come to my wit's end and I remember right where I was at that I told the Lord. I'd been praying, I'd been laboring, I'd been going through it. And I told the Lord, I am at the end of my rope. Lord, I am done. I'm at my wit's end. There's nothing else. I can't feel any better. I can't do any better. I can't pray anything else. I felt like that I had my fingertips right on the end of the rope. And I was hanging on and I was just about to let go. And I told the Lord, I'm at the end of it. Lord, if you don't help me, I will be destroyed. And heaven opened. And I want to tell you, there was a grace that flooded over me, overwhelming grace, flooded over my soul. And you know what? I looked around at the end of it with an amazement of how I felt, the strength that was in me and the courage that I had and the blessing that was on me. And I looked at the circumstances and they was exactly the same. It wasn't the circumstance he wanted to change. He wanted to change me. And he empowered me to look at it altogether different. And from that time on, I said, "Lead on, Lord. Your servant will follow. I got the power to go through it. And I know you'll lead true to it." God was faithful all the way through. Folks, heaven's open. What does it mean to you that heaven's open? It means that there is an overwhelming access to the spiritual things, to the things of God, to the joy, the peace, the things that we need in our hearts, regardless of this world. I want to tell you something. We're being promised. You all have mercy on me here. Some don't like it, but you have mercy on me. This is for the glory of God. There is those that's promising that we can be great again. Our country can be great again. We're going to be great again. I don't know how you define greatness. And there's no doubt that we can change some things, or maybe we can make education better, roads better. I don't know. But greatness is going to come from God. We're never ever going to be great again until we humble ourselves before the Lord and accept that heaven's opened and to take the things from heaven. If God don't bless this nation, folks, we ain't going to be great again. We need God. God's what's going to make us great again. Nothing else will make us great again. I understand the secular ramification of it, but being great in my eyes isn't that. Has science been able to make us? It's made technology, I'll agree. We live in quite a time. But has it really made us more peaceful? Do we really get along with one another better? Have they stopped the killings? Have they stopped the drug abuse? Does children not get molested anymore or abused? There's been great change in our world. But there's been very little of it good. Really good. So marriages stick together now when they didn't used to, because science was able to fix them. Now we know how to do it. None of those things are true. It's because it takes God to do that. God is our answer. And heaven is our, and thank God tonight that heaven has been opened. And this scripture goes on and says, well, I'll read it. It goes on and says that heaven is open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I think he meant more than just that. But heaven is open. It means to us, what does it mean? We're all standing outside the chapel there and the doors are locked. We're all standing out there, but you can't get in. And if you was in here, you couldn't get out. So I'm going to have to open up. And heaven opened up. And now whatever it afforded, whatever it owns, whatever belongs in that realm is now accessible to us. Heaven's opened. And the angels of God, it sounds like a free running thing here. They're descending and ascending and descending and ascending. What are they doing? What are the angels doing? It's just like one of these perpetual merry-go-rounds that just go for our enjoyment to watch. No! There's a meaning that they're doing something. They're taking our desire. They're taking our needs. They're taking our thing. And they're taking it to God. But God, they're coming back down. They're coming back down. What are they bringing? They're bringing the things that we need. It's a figurative idea. It's an idea that gives us a vision of something. It opens up my mind to the fact that when I get in that place, that I can call upon the Lord and have faith that there's an angel that's going to take that request and say, "I'll be back in a little bit." Amen. And takes that. It ascends to God. I'm too touched and have been for years. It's been a burden of mine for years. And I look at it, and if anything touches my heart, and those that knows me well knows that I've struggled with being a sensitive person. Not sensitive, I'm more, I'm a tougher type person. I'm not really. I know there's a real down in there. But I have a shell. I've struggled with that. I've asked the Lord before, help me to be sensitive with these things. But if one thing I'm sensitive about, I think about a lot, is that the young people, when they hit that 13, 14, that age, that they long for something, want their own identity, they reach out for something. I look at that, where innocence is lost, where people, where lifelong decisions are going to be made right there. Life and death might be made right there. The decision to take a cigarette that leads into a joint, that leads into harsher drugs, that leads into suicide. That time that leads into things where they jump right into a relationship too young to be able to handle the loss of that relationship, and it hurts them and things like that, that drive them to the need of not wanting to live. And I look at that sometimes, and it's touched my heart. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on them. Help them there at that time. Rescue them from that. Heaven is open. Oh, if I could only get to them. Heaven is open. Your dreams. What you really want. Why would it... I think about this a lot. Why would somebody, with all the information that's out there about smoking, with all the information that's out there about what drugs will do to you, why would anybody do it? I will tell you why. They want happiness. They want the moment that they can laugh for a while. They want to be able to get rid of worry. They want to get rid of the uncertainties. They want to get rid of the things that they are, who they are. They want to be something else. You know, in my lifetime, honestly, I just wanted to be in the category of normal. A lot of people say, well, act like they want to be spectacular, or they want to be great, or looked at as somebody. Most of my life, I just wished I was in the just regular. If I could just be regular, I'd be satisfied. I was a little scrawny. I started high school. I weighed 89 pounds. I was orange-haired and freckle-faced. And I just wanted to be in the normal category. Because I was so different than everybody else, I hated being that way. If I could just be in that. You know, that hasn't worked really against me like I thought that it would. As soon as about the time I was old enough to quit caring about my hair being orange, it changed colors. Anyway. And then about the time I didn't care if I was this little scrawny boy, I started putting on weight and I grew out. But you know, I learned a lot in that time. That is a foundation, really, of something that the Lord has used in my life. I understand people that have those kind of needs in their life. I understand it. I feel for it. But I'm going to tell you something. God is the answer to those kind of problems. Because what happens if you are like that and you don't change? What if you're a little scrawny, skinny? I say that not to belittle anybody else. That's who I was. And I had to deal with being picked on for that. I had to deal with all that. And then I grew out of it. What if I hadn't? Am I doomed that I'll never be happy? Am I doomed that I can't have peace in my life? Is who I am and what I am and all that, does that doom me? No, thank God, heaven is open. And the power of the divine grace of God, that one that created the universe, that power, that grace is available for me, and I can go through anything this world can bring at me through the grace of God. And I can be just as contented
in that place with the grace of God. I can be satisfied in this with the grace of God. I want to burn up my share of it. Lord, I need your grace. I need your help. Got a lot of things in my life and who the way I was and who I am and all those kind of things. I need grace. Lord, help me to have grace. Anybody in here ever got these little things that just aggravate you? Does anybody get aggravated? Maybe nobody gets aggravated. That's good. You're in a good place. Good high spiritual place. Some of us get aggravated at stuff, and I need grace for those kind of aggravations. Or am I doomed always to grace? Or maybe I'll laugh my way out of them frustrations and that. It don't work. It just don't work. But God has opened heaven. And the angels are ascending and descending. Thank God that they're doing it. And that heaven is open. I want to give you a little testimony. And many of you here probably had met our new brother Jeff Wallach. I'm going to tell you. God is so good. God is so good. I met Brother Jeff for the first time and was confident that Brother Jeff was an honest soul. The Lord witnessed that to me the first time I ever met him. That he's an honest soul. But he wasn't a perfect one. He said to me the first time I ever met him, he said, I know that I am tainted by the things that I've been. I know it has to be. I don't know what it is, but I know it has to be. He had things in his life that he needed to take care of in his life. You know, the Lord is so good. People looking on might have said it was an awful thing that happened. It wasn't an awful thing that happened. God opened heaven. God opened heaven for a man and worked in his life and spared his life and worked with him and gave him an opportunity. And when it got down to the place that it looked like that Brother Jeff was right on the verge of going on in eternity, God manipulated and used the circumstances of life that only God can do and spared him a good 2 weeks beyond it. And gave him a total soundness in the middle of it and was able and in that time, he started making things right. There were some things he needed to take care of, and he started making them right and started doing it. And he changed it, and in that time, he altered and changed. And the Lord blessed him right there in that time. I said at his funeral, I wouldn't write on his stone, he loved God, though he did. I'd write, God loved him. And you know what I come away convinced of? That heaven's open. And that God loves you and I, and if we're honest and sincere, we can go to heaven. If we're willing to submit ourselves to the will of God and give it to Him, He will make the way. But it isn't exclusive to us. God will do it for everybody. The message is you can go to heaven if you want to. You can have a good life if you want to. You can get your dignity back, your honor back. God can do that for you right here in this life. God will be faithful to you. He was so faithful to him. Doctor told Brother Jeff when he had decided, he said he wasn't doing anything that they had to do. Wasn't going to do it. He was going to trust in the Lord. They said then, you know, that's it. And that. And they warned him, this is going to be excruciating. When this stuff starts eating away at your organs, this is going to be excruciating. You're not going to be able to handle it. It's going to be terrible. It ought to be awful. They also said that we can't keep you at the hospital because you're not taking any treatment. You're going to have to find something else. Sister Vaughn was come to us for counsel and help. She said, I don't know what to do with it. Said, I got to get him or try to get him in a home, somewhere that can continual care, something to take care of him at this point in time. And I said to her, yeah, you could do that, this. And I said, she said, what would you do? And I said, Sister Vaughn, let's take him home. Oh, she said, Brother Marty, I don't know that I can do it. I don't know if I can go through that. And I said, Sister Swan, saints will be with you. We'll be with you. And I said, I'm going to tell you something about God. I said, I can say this to you. And I'm glad God honored this because I don't want to be accused of being a false prophet because I prophesied to her. I said, you've seen the worst of the pain. God will be faithful. I want to tell you, Brother Jeff went home. At all the predictions, he was alive for 2 weeks and a day. after that. And he never had a moment of pain. Folks, I'm going to tell you, he never had a moment of pain. I would ask him before when he was in so much pain, what's your pain? 8, 9, 10, he would say it was excruciating. But after that, when he came on, I'd say, how's your pain? He'd say, what pain? Ain't pain. Never in pain. He even got bed sores on him, and you know, bed sores are from not moving. I mean, he wasn't able to, always laying on spots and points and stuff. And I told him one time he was uncomfortable, and I said, Brother Jeff, I said, the God, I said, how's your pain? He said, I don't have any pain. I said, the same God can take care of your bed sores. And we had prayer, and do you know he never suffered on bed sores again? God is good. Heaven's open. You need something? Heaven's open. You don't have to be shy about even asking. The angels are on their way anyway. They're already going. There's some going now. You maybe missed that one. Another one's coming along. He'll take it for you. They're coming along. They're ascending all the time. We can tell the Lord, Lord, having some problems with bed sores. No problem. Here comes another one coming right down. God has opened heaven to us. What does that mean? What is in heaven? The blessings of God. What do you need? That's who I am. What do you need in your life? You need some forgiveness? There's an angel coming. There's something descending upon you. You don't have to bear that load by yourself. You can't bear it by yourself. It'll wear you out. It'll eat you up. Your family will never be right. Am I plagued that my family can't be right? Am I plagued that my marriage is wrong? No. The angels are descending. Oh, don't get in a hurry for it. Sometimes the Lord's got a plan. You'll send it up, but it ain't the next angel that's bringing it. It's going to be a few angels down the line that's bringing it. Just wait, wait. Heaven is opened. Thank God. This scripture, of course, was probably along this. I won't look at it. It's over in 28th chapter of Genesis. Old Jacob. Remember old Jacob? Making him a pillow out of stones. I never did figure that pillow out of them stones. I think I'd rather lay flat down on the ground. Put my head. But he made him a pillow of stones and laid down. You remember? Had a dream. And he dreamed. You know what he dreamed? He dreamed that heaven opened. And it was a ladder. And angels was going up and down that ladder. What did it mean to him? Do you know that meant the providence of God? That meant the blessings of God? It meant that God was working. God was working in his life, and that his life was in the hands of God. And that God was going to send the things that he needed and take out the things that he didn't. And he's going to take care of him. Heaven's opened. It's opened for all of us. I wish that the world could see that heaven was open to them, and that there is something divine that we can get a hold of that'll help us in life with that. We'll look at one more scripture. It's over in the 5th chapter of Romans. It says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Now, how are you going to do that? But it says it. This says that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I think that we all have this rejoicing in the idea that there is a place that when we leave this world, that we'll go to without sorrow, without hurt, without harm to us. There's a place that we can go of infinite love and goodness and blessings. Don't we rejoice in that? But the writer went farther. Of course everybody would rejoice in such a proclamation as that. But he went farther than that. And he said, not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. But now I'm going to have to ask, do we rejoice in tribulation also? Because he said we did. But do we? And how can we? Is it possible? Is it possible that there is something? I know what it is. I got it. It's laughter. Laughter will do it. You laugh long enough and hard enough, and when tribulation comes, you'll laugh your way right through it. Not hardly.
Laugh till I end right there, and it won't be anything funny about it. It'll be gone. We'll get drunk. We'll drink wine till we're drunk, and tribulation won't touch us. But you'll sober up, and it'll still be there anyway. What are we going to do? He said, we do rejoice. Also, why? Because God has opened heaven, that's why. And God's got grace. And tribulation works patience. And we need to be patient. Well, it didn't say that it destroyed us. It said it built us up. So we rejoice because we're being made better. We rejoice because we realize that heaven's open and God is in control of our lives. We rejoice because there is an answer to life. I don't want tribulation. I can say right now, I'd rather not. But I say amen to God's will. I say amen to getting better. I say amen to what the Lord wants to do in my life. And tribulation worketh patience. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. That really answers a lot of our questions. Because we can try to manufacture. We can try to, kick one another. Get them going. Encourage one another. Ultimately, what we really want is a work of God in the heart. I can look at somebody and think you ain't measured up and say you need to measure up. Come on. So if we got enough people in authority, maybe we could pressure them onto it. Wouldn't do us a bit of good. Wouldn't help anything. What we need to do is tell them, you get a little closer to Jesus. They say, I can't hardly do it in this world. Yes, you can. Because heaven's opened. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. There's no reason for us to be short in anything because heaven's opened. We don't have to go around saying we're rotten. We're just a bunch of sinners down here. We sin all the time. We don't have to go around saying that because heaven's opened. There is a grace for performance. There's a grace for action. There's a grace that we can overcome. Overcome the wickedness of our world around us. Overcome myself. The lust and desires of this fleshly man. It can be overcome because heaven's open. I thank the Lord tonight that heaven's open. I desire your prayers. I want to be faithful to the Lord. And I want to take advantage of the fact that heaven's opened. You pray for me.